Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
For an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
This is Loveline.
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 With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah.
Yeah, just the love between us tonight.
That's
huh?
right. No pesky guests to deal with.
Yeah.
We're going to be getting it on, me and Drew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it on. All right. I'm trying to goose myself. I'm trying to get a pulse going. I'm tired. You know, I I don't sleep right.
Well, that is an eternal problem with you.
Yeah.
And by the way, while you were getting all these medical procedures, why didn't you get the nasal septum repair so you can actually sleep? Because part of your sleep problem is you sleep with your mouth open until it's dry and sticks to the top of your mouth.
My mouth is like a cat box.
Yeah.
After about 2 hours after I go to sleep, it's like it's just like a cat made in there. It's like someone filled it with litter and then a tabby made in it. And it's like, I can't even do that thing because it's so dry that my tongue will cleave to the roof of my mouth.
Yeah.
Like some sort of Yiddish curse.
Yeah.
Mate, your mouth should taste like a cat box.
And your tongue should cleave to the roof of your mouth.
And your teeth should fall out and hair should grow in its place. And your head should grow in the... Okay. You guys should focus a little too much on the growing part. Your head should grow in the ground like an onion. I love that stuff. Point is, my mouth, it tastes like hell. And you know what? You know what would really do it? And I'm an idiot. And I swear to Christ, I got to get into this. I got to get like a straw. I got to get the kind of straw that guys in handicapped wheelchairs use, you know, the quads.
Yeah.
And it's just got to... See, here's the problem. You put the glass of water by the side of the bed, but the problem is A, half the time you forget to do it.
Yeah.
B... Water goes bad faster than milk or orange juice, which I don't understand. I swear to holy Christ, if I put a thing of OJ next to the bed, the next day it would taste fine.
Yeah.
Water's gone sour.
Tastes like hell, yeah.
Can water spoil?
Sparkling water with a little cap on it.
With a little cap on it.
That's the thing.
I know, but I'm such a retard that I won't even do that.
Yeah.
And so the thing is I put the glass, but you realize the glass was there from the night before and the water's somehow stale. And then you have to sit up if it's a glass. Like, well, I need to lean over and just suckle on something.
But you wouldn't be waking up and your mouth wouldn't be dry if you breathe through your nose like everybody else if you had the septum repaired.
Yeah, but what if I damage this silky,
the golden, velvety...
The tone.
Oh, the
tone. Do you hear the rich tones that come out of me?
Yes, these tones, yes, rich.
Rich, yeah.
Especially when you're
velvety.
Eating. When you're eating, it's a great sound.
You should see me at the... when I go to the movie theater, I always get a popcorn, and whoever's sitting with me always has to go like, hey, could you quiet down? Like... Literally make too much noise eating popcorn in the theater.
It's like I might as well have
a cell phone conversation. It's less unnerving. Like just say, yeah. Maybe I should do something with that septum.
Yeah, I'm just saying you've got all these operations. It's time to get that
mouth wide open, tossing and turning, and did Kimmel tonight, which is fine. But you got to do your homework. I'm not a doctor.
What happened?
Well, what I mean is, you go on one of these shows, you sit there and you no one expects you to be that entertaining.
Right.
And you tell a couple of cute stories about a patient.
Like
Mary-Kate and Ashley, and you're off the hook. Yeah. I got to dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, Corolla's coming on.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to be, something funny's going to happen.
Didn't you yell about left turn signals?
I did.
And interestingly, tonight, South Park was about, it was very funny, about secondhand smoke.
Oh, really?
And about how Rob Reiner and his organizations had become the evil empire.
Mm.
And they were they had Cartman get on the air and read a PSA. You know, by the time you do it. By the time you see this PSA, I'll be dead. and Carmen's going, well, what about that dead part? And Rob Reiner, just eat this cupcake. You'll be fine. What about the dead part? Yeah, well, eat the cupcake. And he realized they're trying to kill him to make the PSA true. And it's actually the tobacco companies rescue him.
Oh,
from the
yeah.
Evil, from the evil secondhand smoke people.
Well, maybe yeah. South Park's been listening to the show.
Very funny.
Yeah, so anyway, never get, you know, once every 4 months I sleep all the way through the night and I wake up and I actually wake up and I feel good and I go, oh, this is how people feel.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, the tossing and turning thing, all night, you wake up the next morning, just feel like you didn't go to bed.
You're right, it doesn't matter anyway. You drink so much alcohol at night that it screws you sleep every night. Anyway.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? What's it do?
It's, you know, sleep is a very delicate biology, and you start putting...
Drowning it in booze?
You start putting drugs into the system, it affects its rhythmicity and its...
Yeah, what about the ones that make you go to sleep?
Make it bad.
Really?
They put you to sleep that night, but they can upset the chemistry over the long term.
Well, I'm only interested in that night.
All right, well, you go.
All right.
And then next night.
Doesn't
and then
work,
next night.
But it doesn't work that night either. Bobby?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yeah, it's actually Danny.
Danny. All right. Are you a virgin?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Shocking.
He's got that virgin twang.
Young Jerry Lewis. What's up there, Danny?
So, yeah, I was wondering, why do guys, like, when they sneeze or, like, do some physical activity, well, sometimes I get, like, cramps in my balls or my grundle area.
Grundle.
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let me look that up in the anatomic book here, the grundle.
There it is.
So, like, yeah. It's like the flamdoodle, or, like, I don't know, like, the perineum, I guess.
This perineum.
There you go.
This is a, what is your question?
Why it hurts
down. Why does that happen?
No.
Well, okay.
This is a bogus call.
It really shouldn't happen. If it's happening to you regularly, it's something you need to get it checked out. You can get tumors and cysts and things that can predispose to pain down there. And even sometimes the testicle can sort of turn on itself and twist the blood supply and cause a lot of discomfort. It's called torsion.
Yeah.
So if you're having a lot of pain down there, even with sort of heavy lifting or any exertion or Valsalva, that is something you should have checked out.
No, it's not like it's not heavy pain. It's just, you know.
Hang on. We want to talk to Bobby because he's from East Lyme. We talked about Lyme.
Oh, we weren't talking about Lyme? All right.
Hey, Bobby.
No, it's not Bobby. It's Danny.
Oh, Danny.
Danny, we're no longer interested in your lame question that we feel is bogus, but we are intrigued by the fact that you're calling from Lyme, Connecticut.
Yes. I live in California, but I'm on vacation in Connecticut right now. I'm visiting my friend.
Okay.
In Lyme.
No, I swear.
In Lyme.
Who's on first.
Yes.
Okay, and well, now he has no answers about Lyme. Drew says that's the birthplace of Lyme disease.
Lyme is. I'm in East Lyme, though.
Well, Old Lyme is where Lyme disease started.
You're East Lyme. I'm sure it's a million miles away from the birthplace of Lyme disease.
It's only like 10 miles, actually.
All right. Let's, Drew, what do you know about Lyme disease?
A lot. Why?
Well, how do you know it was born in? It was named after Lyme, Connecticut.
Yeah, it was first picked up in Lyme, and it was on the ticks and the deer in Lyme.
Twenty years ago.
Yeah.
You didn't hear that much about it back in the day. Oh, maybe it did.
It was a contender for chronic fatigue for a while there.
Ah,
everyone had Lyme.
What happened to Rocky Mountain spotted fever ticks?
My son had something like that. He had murine typhus, which is a relative of Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Nice.
And those are the Rocky Mountain spotted fever ticks are the hard ticks, the Dermacentor americanus ticks.
Yeah.
Yes.
What the hell? The ticks, they bury in you? What do you got to get them out of there with?
Just a lighter. You got to burn them.
You got to burn them?
Or tear them off. They tear flesh with them.
So if you burn them, they let go?
Mm-hmm. Or die.
You can hit them with like cigarette butt or something like that?
Yeah.
Or maybe a punk?
Punk?
Yeah. That's a nice
item. Do they have punks anymore?
I don't think kids have punks anymore. I'm going to ask Engineer Chris if he knows what a punk is. You know what a punk is?
You mean like a punk kid?
No.
Punk is it would pertain to something you would light.
4th of July, punk.
Oh, no.
Okay. Turn your mic off.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Chris. Here's the problem with Chris. I don't know that doesn't mean people don't know what it is.
It means Chris doesn't know.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris speaks for Chris. He doesn't speak for America.
Yeah.
I've learned that over the
Why
years.
Why should I speak for America?
That's right.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Turn
you
the
should.
Mic off. No, I want the mic off.
Okay. A punk is like a little piece of incense that never goes out.
It's and good. Doesn't smell either.
It doesn't smell. It's like when you're lighting firecrackers, instead of having to light a book of matches all the time or light or something, you got this glowing little thing. Like
it's a stick.
Yeah, just put it right on the end. It's a nice item.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they don't have punks anymore.
Lighters now.
All right. All right, where are we, Drew?
We're talking to Cat.
Cat. All right. You know, they had all this problem. Didn't they have a Lyme disease? What do we got going out here now with the mosquitoes?
West Nile.
West Nile.
Yeah.
Sprayed a bunch of mosquitoes. It didn't work.
I know. It's going to be tough.
But let me say this. This stuff never really pans out. The media gets all involved with it. Oh, West Nile's coming. Oh, I remember the killer bees were heading this way. Oh, they're coming.
They were possessed by the devil, weren't they?
The killer bees, they're coming from South America. They've already made it through Central America. Yeah. They're going through Mexico, and they're heading to Arizona. This is 22 years ago.
Easy.
Somehow stuff loses its steam when it gets here. And maybe these other countries where people sleep outdoors and, you know, walk barefoot through big fields of fecal matter, somehow there's a more devastating effect to these things. You know what it is? A lot of these other countries are like we were 200 years ago. Something breaks out, you're going to lose a few thousand people.
Yeah,
here we lose two old people. And we try to make as much out of it as we can.
You've got to understand something. Everything is hyped by the news media.
Right.
Everything that makes a good story, that has a good headline attached to it, you're going to hear about no matter how unimportant or ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
That's it. Medical headlines, worthless. I just saw a headline on a website, internet site. Headline, heart medicine.
Stop smacking everything.
Heart medicine.
Like Liberace or some ba-dung.
Heart medicine causes, sort of potassium overload.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
The week before, by the way, about 2 months ago, was new cheap medicine, a must for all heart failure patients. Guess what? That's the medicine that's causing the potassium overload now. You make a new headline.
Well, true. Don't read those things. Two things. Don't read that. Don't read the Amazon book rating thing and find out your book is number 2,756,000 on the list, and there's not even that many books on the chart. Don't do that. And don't read those reviews.
They took all, I had like 400 reviews up. They took them all off.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Your therapist probably had them take it off. Kat?
Yes.
You're 27?
27.
You know what gag I miss? I miss the gag of the Playboy or the newspaper or something coming out with somebody in it who had an embarrassing article or something, and the person getting up in the morning, running around and buying all of them. Do you remember that gag?
Yeah, going to buy them all up.
Going to buy all the Playboys. So her new boyfriend.
No, it's a picture. It's a picture, a sort of revealing or embarrassing picture.
Yeah, doesn't want him to see it.
We're gonna get all of them.
So he's going to buy all of them. Yeah, that used to be a convention in sitcoms and even
70s.
Dramas, too, like in movies. Oh, my God, there's a scathing article about me and a horrible picture in the Los Angeles Times. I got to buy them all up. Somehow it was feasible, too. You run down to the newsstand, you buy everything they got, and your guy could never see them. Kat?
Yes.
27. Go ahead, baby doll.
I've been married for 2 years. And I've been with this amazing guy for 7.5 years now. And all of a sudden, in the last, 6 months, it seems like he's changing.
Mm-hmm.
He's
becoming better.
Worse.
Oh.
Not for the better.
What's he doing?
He's just been really stressed out with work and, I guess, his life. And a couple weeks ago, he kind of flipped out and said that I didn't help him at all, and I didn't do anything around the house, so he picked up all of our dishes and threw them into the wall.
Mm-hmm. All right. And he wasn't drunk or high or anything?
No, he doesn't. Very seldom drinks, doesn't do any drugs.
Just freaked on you. And what's he do for a living?
Structural engineer.
Hmm. Nerds spazzing out. I love it. It's great when a guy can't throw a proper tantrum, really starts spinning out. Voice cracking.
He did good. It's stuck in the wall.
Oh, that's good. I picture like Dr. Bruce really nuts on a chick.
Did he try to hurt? Did he try to hurt you?
No, but he screamed at me a lot.
He freaked you out.
What'd he say?
Basically, we're over. I'm done with you. Get the hell out of my house.
Hmm. Really? Just because the place wasn't picked up when he came home?
No, it was actually over vacation.
And did he get over that? Did he come around? What happened?
Yeah, I obviously freaked out and grabbed a bunch of stuff and walked out. And he called me on my cell phone and said that he's sorry and that he doesn't know what happened. And he flipped out and that he needs to get help. And
yes. Okay, there you go.
Well, there you go.
He'll be better. So I called and made an appointment with a psychologist. Uh-huh. And the night before that he was supposed to go in, he said he was going to be really busy, and he wasn't going to be able to go, and just flaked.
All right. What you need to know is there is a ton of missing information here,
mm-hmm.
and very little of it has to do with you or your relationship. That's the relationship's been going okay, right? There's nothing you need to tell me about the relationship, problems, chaos.
No, I mean, it's been fine.
Is he an abuse survivor? Is he an abuse or trauma survivor in his life?
His dad was a really bad alcoholic.
Right. So here's the missing kinds of pieces. He may be using drugs or alcohol and you not know it. That's a possibility. He may be bipolar, and that's been undiagnosed. So you need to have him. It really should see a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, to start with.
He wants to see either one. He said that it's in his head, and he's the only one who can fix it. So why go to someone?
Yeah,
yeah, right.
People next.
Yeah, yeah. Well, next when he gets a heart attack too, he can just sit by him. Not going to help with that either.
6 years of college under his belt, and he can't even come close to this one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look. Here's the thing, Kat. You got to tell him. All right, fine. If you have another outburst, though, I'm out of here.
And I'm calling the police.
Now, leave the police alone.
I
don't call the cops all the time.
You what, Kat?
I've already told him that. I said that if it ever happens again, that...
Yeah, that'd be a problem. I mean, this kind, if he's bipolar, right. Which I suspect he is, he may become really violent. I mean, who knows what he might do.
Yeah.
And if, especially in these sort of fugue states where he can't contain his impulses, it's bad times.
Yeah, it's just he's never done anything like this before.
Well, something is really significantly wrong with him psychiatrically, and that needs to be assessed.
All right. Look, you're going to have a hard time getting him to go to the shrink, but women can use their leverage against their guy because they just tell him, I'm leaving if you freak out.
Yeah, but if he's sort of kicking her out and stuff, and he's sort of weird and blaming her.
Yeah, but don't call the cops. Leave him alone.
Right.
And by the way, they don't have enough manpower, Drew.
Yeah, you're right.
They're writing tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I don't know what the thing is. He ain't going if he ain't going. If you really want him to go, you can pressure him
now. I'll tell you who has the greatest success in getting males to treatment.
Your wife.
The employer.
Well, the employer.
If you can get the employer.
Oh, he's going to freak, though, if you rat him out to the boss.
There might be ways you can sort of use the workplace to help.
They may have just been looking for an excuse to cut this guy loose anyway.
On the other hand, if he has an EAP, an employee assistance program, I would call the EAP, and they can give you a confidential assistance and call him in and say, you got to do this.
What's wrong with her saying, you freaked me out, but good. I was scared for my safety. Right. I still am. I know you think the seas have calmed, but you're going to need to talk to somebody and get an assessment, or I'm out of here right now. Waiting for the
that
next
would actually,
blowout where I get a fireplace poker through my neck.
In fact, that would be the healthiest thing she could do. Unfortunately, I'm not clear that
she
will get him.
She could do it.
I'm not sure that will get him to.
Well, when he's calmed down, I'm sure he would see the light.
But now he's not, and he is calm.
He is calm now. Kat?
Yeah.
How about you do what I just said?
Okay.
What do you want? You want him to go to the shrink.
Was your dad an alcoholic?
No. No, my grandfather was. My father never drank.
Mm-hmm. Or nobody was sort of a rageaholic in your family?
No, not really. My dad's an ex-cop. So, I mean,
I'm wondering why you can't come to your own defense. Why something that Adam suggests, which is actually a healthy move, to you sounds impossible.
Yeah, just do it. My dad was a rageaholic. One time, he got so angry, he almost got off the sofa.
Wow.
Yeah.
For your dad, that's an expression of intense rage.
He started to lean forward, and I could see him. I could see him put his hands down on the pillow like he was going to lift himself up.
Did he complete the movement?
I heard a loud pop halfway into it, and he just crumbled back down to the sofa.
Okay.
So I think he may have broke a bone in his upper arm. Yeah, maybe ripped the tendon off the bone. And he learned his lesson.
Yeah.
He was a young man, thankfully, but he learned a valuable lesson, which is the sofa's where I'll be. And then that's how he traveled. You know, remember the beginning of the show, The Monkees, where they're going down the street in the bed?
Yep.
And they're like paneling?
Yeah.
So my dad would travel that way on a sofa.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
How convenient.
We carted him around.
Oh, that's nice.
And we got a trailer hitch hooked up.
Pulled up behind the car?
Put a trailer ball on the car.
Nice.
And if we're ever going out of town or camping or anything like that, we just hook this sofa up to the trailer, and we just drag him out.
Nice.
Yeah, never got on there. We catheterized him.
Why? He just pee on the couch.
Well, he did that for several years, but eventually
we'll start breaking down.
Well, when the cat smelled it, they would start peeing on it too. So, and then what we did is we actually made a hole in it, put a toilet seat on it, and dug a septic tank underneath the house.
How'd you drag that? What'd you do when you were out traveling?
We got a port of sand that we wove
into the seat.
We actually upholstered it.
Yeah. To look like the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still would label him a rageaholic.
Yeah, of course.
Drew, you've spoken to my dad, yes?
It's
out of control.
Out of control. Intense.
Intense man,
yeah,
right?
Intense.
He almost looked up once, right?
Did he?
I don't know. Just picture my dad like saying something. Christine?
Hi, Adam.
You're 15?
Yes, I'm the one who called last night.
Yeah, oh yeah, Christine, yeah.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good.
Christine called last night. We had her on hold for a while. We couldn't get to her call, so we told her to call tonight, right?
Right.
Yes, that's right.
What's up, baby doll?
So, thanks for taking my call. I'm very happy to be talking to you guys. Basically, I had a question about my quote-unquote sexual past, and I'm sort of confused because based on the things that I've done in the past, I'm kind of scared, like if it's affected me now. Does that make sense?
What have you done?
I started like masturbation at age like 8, and I was wondering, first of all, if that's early.
Well, that's early, but it happens sometimes. I'm not sure that it clearly means anything.
Women are all over the map because they don't have any plumbing that's really hooked up like guys do. So it's like
it's hard to really understand why there's so much variability. But some women are masturbating to orgasm at 10. Other women are having their first orgasm at 22.
Okay.
It's another reason we had to catheterize my dad.
Wait, hold on a second, Christine. I got to hear this.
Well, he wouldn't get off the sofa, and he did, you know, want to pleasure himself on occasion.
So what would the catheter do? Oh, you catheter?
Yeah, we'd do a semen catheter.
Well, that's hard.
Yeah, it's not easy. Blew out a few times. I had to wrap it with duct tape and then go actually around his waist and come back, you know.
Tough.
Yeah, it's tough. Go ahead, Christine.
Okay, so that's the first thing.
Hold on a second. Drew, if you put a catheter in.
You can't get semen.
You can't?
You can't do it. If you put a catheter in and then masturbated.
Yeah. I'd like to try that. I'm up to that. I'd do that.
I think that would cause intense pain. I'm not sure if anyone's ever.
But I could push
But you know what? Here's the interesting thing. I'm not sure anyone's ever tried that.
I'm like a ninja.
So this could be a really a first-time human experience.
Yeah. Do you think we need a bigger bore on the tube, though, because the stuff's a little viscous?
No,
you know?
No. The bigger the bore. See, if it's going to come out, it's going to have to come out around the tube because the end of the tube is in the bladder.
Oh, yeah. It would have to blast out around the tube.
Yes.
Oh.
It's a valve. I know
it now. What if we took a catheter and we just stuck it halfway down the pike there and taped it off?
It would drive you insane. Hurt.
I know, but what if I could push through?
Would semen
come out of the tube?
Even then, it wouldn't get to the tube part. You know what I mean? It wouldn't likely get to the lumen.
Why wouldn't it get to the tube
around?
It'd still go around?
Yeah.
You don't think it'd push through the tube?
Very little.
All right. Well, this is disappointing. Christine?
Yes, you guys never cease to interest me.
All right. So you've masturbated, and what else?
Yeah. And then at age 10, I was sort of forced into giving like my first sort of blowjob to my older boyfriend, which is extremely young in my opinion.
How old was he?
What was it?
How old was he?
He was 15. Yeah.
15.
So, yeah.
And he had a 10-year-old girlfriend?
That's crazy.
No. I totally realized that now because
I know.
He had problems, but of course I didn't see that because I was.
What about the anyone around you? Did your parents see you're bopping around with a 15-year-old?
No, I totally just, you know, the
All
whole,
right.
when you're young, you get the parents.
You're freaking me out. How did your parents not know about it?
That I was doing stuff with him? Well, they didn't know that. They knew I was hanging out with him, but.
Well, see, if my daughter hanging out with a 15-year-old, I would, no way.
Yeah, so, all right, so you did this, and that's weird and freak you out a little bit, and what else?
What's the question?
Okay, so then I sort of did more sexual things, and my question is, now I feel kind of, I felt really, whenever I get hook up with someone, I feel very, like, I feel used, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
And I also feel kind of socially stuck because now I feel too immature to hang out with, like, the older group.
All right, listen, Christine, listen, man, I'm a genius. Quiet. Quit flapping your lips there. Here's the thing. You're 15. I know you feel like a seasoned veteran because of these people have done these things to you and whatever you've done to yourself. But the reality is you're 15.
Right.
What you need to do is you're all up in your head. You need to just, cool your jets a little with the sexuality and the boyfriends and what have you.
Definitely.
B, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not damaged goods. C, a little therapy wouldn't hurt for a 10-year-old that was forced to perform oral sex on a 15-year-old.
Yep.
So that's always a good thing. But don't sit around and examine things constantly. I mean, if you want to examine things, get a little work, get a little counseling, see a shrink, what have you. Don't walk around like you're damaged goods. Have your relationships, but you don't have to.
Right.
Just slow it down a little bit. You're 15, everybody. Just take
everybody.
Slow it down. Everyone's 15. Let's take a quick break. Drew's 15. There's three of them living inside his shirt.
Yeah, we can do.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Puddle of Mud in here tomorrow night. Haven't seen those guys in a long time, have we?
No, it's been a while. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Hiccups. Drew's got hiccups. This is going to be funny.
Oh, no.
All right, what's up?
Okay, this is where the catheter goes, right?
Up Drew, show me the book, the male anatomy
book.
It goes up the urethra, and it goes all the way up.
And it goes all the way to the bladder, and this is where
the
balloon is inflated so it can't pull out.
And
that's where the end of the tube is, so the bladder just drains directly by gravity.
Well, how if they inflate a balloon... I forgot Locked about the balloon part.
Yeah.
They inflate a balloon. How does the urine get into the tube?
This thing just fills up. The balloon's only a few millimeters.
But how do you inflate it if there's just one hose? Does the hose have two openings,
channels? Yeah, it's got two channels. We fill the balloon with water, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then you block that channel off so it stays inflated, and then the urine comes out the other channel.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
And then here's the ejaculatory duct right here. Here's the seminal vesicles. There's the ejaculatory duct.
Stop touching me.
Here is where if this is the penis straightened out,
mm-hmm.
So the catheter goes right down here. Look where the ejaculatory ducts are.
Uh-huh.
It
just hit the tube.
Yeah.
Well, my plan is to catheterize myself, but only a partial catheter. Go about halfway down my penis, about an inch and a quarter, and stop it there. Tape it off. And then begin the masturbation.
Inflate the balloon.
Try to get a little extra girth. Smart. Yeah. Tape it off there and then begin the masturbation. See if I get semen to come out of it.
A common phenomenon that happens in old, confused patients, agitated patients, they will pull on that balloon until it comes right on out the end. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like getting shot with an arrow and just yanking that head, that arrowhead out of you.
All the way through, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Then there's got to be some kind of safety release or some kind of breakaway thing on there.
You would think.
But then, what if the hose breaks away and the...
Stays inside.
It'll drain, but how do you get it out?
They probably use a cystoscope.
Well, they got to go in there with a claw.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to John. John?
Hey.
28. What's up?
My wife had a baby about a year and a half ago, and she... now smells after that. I don't know what kind of smell it is, but I mentioned it to her once, and then for hints I've went out and bought the Epsom salt, the stuff that you put in the bathtub that is smells like strawberries and stuff like that.
Yeah, that ain't going in her vagina though.
Yeah, you gotta work that out.
This is probably an infection.
Hold on. That's like having rotting pot roast in the refrigerator and you putting a little Fantastic or 409 on the outside and wiping it down.
Yeah.
You still open that fridge, you get a nose full of hell. Yeah.
Yeah, John, buddy. Has she been back to your doctor since
that? Chris digs that one.
Yes,
yeah.
God, he's laughing.
He's laughing.
John, has she been to see her doctor since the pregnancy?
Yes, she has.
And what did they say? What did they talk about this?
I don't think she mentioned it to the doctor.
All right, it's probably an infection. And so she needs to mention it to the doctor.
Okay.
Okay, antibiotic
crane. Anything to do with the baby? Throw off the floor and the fauna down there?
I doubt it. Placenta has its own lovely smell. Ooh, I realized.
I could imagine.
You know what it smells like is, what's the mushroom that the pigs get in France?
Those are truffles.
Truffles, yes.
Yeah.
Smells like truffle oil.
Truffle, by the way, nothing sounds less... like a mold that grows under the earth that pigs sort out.
Sounds like a chocolate.
Truffle. Like, right? If someone says, hey, I'm going to go to the store and grab some truffles, you know, put me down. Mm-hmm. Put me down for Baker's dozen of those. I'm picturing something like a flaky crust with a creamy center.
Yeah.
This idea of truffles. Truffles, I don't know what it is, but once in a while something gets the wrong name. And truffle is the wrong name.
Absolutely.
Garnish isn't a good one either.
It's called placental.
Garnishing your wages. But truffle is a disaster.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, you kind of would like your wages garnished.
It sounds good.
Like parsley on your wages.
Hey, Drew, we're going to garnish your wages. You in?
Parsley or a little watermelon
slice? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Of course. I want some garnish.
Put you down for the garnishment? Engineer Chris, I'm going to garnish some wages. You in? Put you down for that?
That'll be cool.
All right. Maybe get a little orange wedge.
Yeah.
Eat a little parsley.
Be great.
Be nice. Sometimes I take a radish and cut out, make it look like a swan. That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
Also, casualty. Not as heavy a word as it should be. Yeah, we suffered some casualties. You got dead guys. There's body parts all over the place. It's a casualty. Casualty sounds like a shirt that you would wear somewhere.
Yeah, right. Casualty.
Well, what's the dress code? Casualty. No denim, please. No. But it's casualty. Casualty doesn't sound like death.
No.
It's got the word casual right in it. I mean, you know, a mortar round goes off in the foxhole. There's parts everywhere and innards, and you get a little brain on you, and it's like, it's a casualty of war. Oh, it's a casualty. Well, he'll be coming back soon, though, won't he? No, it's casual. It's casual. And actually, it's gone in the ground where the truffles are. Like, who would... A truffle is a piece of mold that's covered with dirt that only a pig can find.
Yeah.
And a casualty means body parts.
Nice.
Strewn about.
Perfect.
And garnish your wage means we're taking money from you. We got to work these things out. They don't sound heavy enough. And why is it only these pigs can find these truffles?
Yeah, I have no idea.
And again, couldn't we use these pigs?
Yes.
To sniff out...
Pregnancy. Yeah.
If a pig could find a truffle that was buried in the ground, and, you know, the poor pig, it's like, hey, once you find enough truffles, we're going to slaughter you and eat you with the truffles. We're having pork chops and truffles tonight. Well, you got 28. Find 30, and then I'm going ahead and stab you and bleed you. That's got to suck, right? It's like, I got enough truffles. Yeah, enjoy those truffles. Oh, no, this is a side dish. Not going to be eating these. You don't just eat truffles. You got to have some pig, too. Very, very cruel world, Drew. Very cruel. Travis?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
My question's for Dr. Drew. I actually... think I contracted herpes from my work environment.
Where do you work?
Yes.
Where do you work?
I work at an adult bookstore in El Cerrito.
Ooh.
And where are the herpes?
On my mouth and actually on my hands.
Mm-hmm. In multiple sites and hands?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Are you cleaning out the stalls?
Oh, I've been with my girlfriend for about a year, and no. I actually got checked.
I thought it was a euphemism for going
like,
down
that's
on your
like
lady.
Garnishing.
You cleaning out her stalls, baby? No, I mean at the adult bookstore. Drew, you've not frequented these places.
Can't say I have.
Chris, is this before your time?
Before my time, yes.
All right. What's he care? He's living at home, beating himself a river every night over there. His mom's 10 feet away, asleep. Picture of him by the nightstand.
Hey, but I'm cleaning out the stalls, though.
All right, the point is, you used to go in these places. They had a little flapping door with a little barrel bolt lock on it and a roll of paper towels.
Nice.
Oh, brazenly strewn across the thing. Just pow. Like, when you see that roll of paper towels.
Yeah, but just think what the process they had to go through to motivate them to put that up there. It didn't start with it up there. It was like, holy Christ.
First
put the towels
4 years
up there.
We're in business. No paper towels.
Who are we kidding? Put the towels up there.
Talking about casualty.
Yeah, they had a mopping guy.
They still got the mopping guy.
Oh, no.
Have seen the mopping guy. That's weird eye contact, by the way. You just left the stall and the mopping guy's heading your way. It's a weird little, you know, you lock eyes for a heartbeat and then suck just right back down at the shoes. Like, oh, no. Hey, brother. Hey, that's job security. we need a clean up aisle 5. Yeah, get on that, would you?
Stall 5.
Stall 5. Yeah, dropped a little semen in there. Hope I'm not going to have to pay for it. Hop on that. And again,
oh, wait, I'm confused.
Symbiotic relationship. I'm confused. Mean, I'm keeping you,
I'm confused. What do you mean? Aren't there women that frequent these and go and sit in there? And I don't understand. Men and women the same.
Oh, they're the
therefore
same.
The same.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, women must go too to these
here's
things.
What I would imagine.
Or society made you that way, Adam. Made you. Force you. It requires you to be that way.
Yeah, no, true. They're the male ones where the guys hang out and look at pictures of naked women. And then there's the ones that have the pictures of the naked men where the gays hang out.
Oh, the gay men hang out.
Yeah, it's all men.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? And by the way, could you imagine for just a hummingbird's heartbeat that there would be such a place, and these places would have like these peep shows and stuff. Could you imagine a sort of an octagon-shaped plywood shack in the center was like mirror. I know it sounds like Madonna video, but lights and a thing, and a guy dancing nude in front of it, and chicks just business women. You know, could be attractive. You know, early 20s, just diddling themselves, sitting on a bench, checking the guy out while he's dancing.
Here's the really, really amazing thing about that: in order for that to even begin to work, they'd have to have masseuses.
Yeah.
And then people for the hair and nails and stuff.
Yeah.
And in 4 seconds, the guy wouldn't even be noticed.
Let me say this. I'll get to Travis in a second. But let me you bring up a good point, which is women don't go for this. I mean, there's no way.
There's no drive for this.
There's no way a woman is going to go into the female equivalent of this kind of thing, feed a few tokens into a projector and beat herself silly with the door closed and the mop chick out there.
When if we raised a woman like an Amazon,
impossible.
Just
they
threw
don't
her
it in them.
Meat and I mean, if, yeah. Impossible.
All right, but let me say this: men have this drive,
naturally,
this capacity, and it's heat powerful.
It can't be
denied,
but it can't be. You can't scare it out of them,
right? Now
it's been tried for history.
Right,
history.
Let me say this now, in just the fairness department: what women, you brought up masseuse. What women, the equivalent of this is, oh, they go to the spa,
yeah,
and they get handled over there, and they get naked, and they get rubs, and they get salted, and they get peeled, and they get loofahed, and oftentimes it's the hands of a guy, and they're totally naked. There's a stranger guy, you know, working them over and all that kind of stuff. That stuff, totally acceptable. And by the way, we pay for it! Now, that is less a biological drive than us going to the strip bar, us going to the whatever.
And arguably a little more of a boundary violation. Somebody's touching them.
You're nude, baby! I just got my fly down. Yeah, okay. Yeah, listen, okay. I may be getting a lap dance, but I'm wearing a pair of super denim jeans and some BVDs here, and I got a flannel shirt on, and there's 80 other guys sitting around me. I'm actually bumping elbows with half these idiots. We're sitting out in the middle of an open place. You go in a room, you lock the door. The guy lights a candle,
quiet room.
Puts on a little Enya, and tells you to disrobe. Seeing you know, the hands sliding under the towel. And all, oh, what's it cost us? $120. Oh, plus tip.
Plus the tip, because they work for the tip.
All right. Now imagine this. Hey, baby, I'm going to the nudie bar. We're going to need some 20s. Yeah, you'll be paying. You'll be paying. I'm going to get a couple lap dances, sit by the side of the stage. We're going to need a dime to toss the guy in the bathroom because we'll get a little Purell. You know, give me a shot of that Purell so I can clean my hands up a little bit. You'll pay? You're paying? No, not in a million years. But then it's like, hey, I need some money. Hey,
let's not even take it to that extreme. How about how you would be dealt with for going where you go as opposed to how you're supposed to react to where they go?
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah. Oh, yeah, them going to strip club, they're enlightened. They're like a Roman. Yeah, them going to the spa. They go to their exchange important ideas.
Health.
Yeah, it's health. What we do is lascivious and dirty and disgusting. Dank and disgusting. And what they do, that's a good thing. And our thing's a much more biologically driven motivator than what they got. And, I'm sickened by all of it. We got to take it. Listen, if they're going to get health clubs, we got to get strip clubs. That's it. And they want us to pay? You got to pay for us going to the strip club. And believe me, what we're doing is in front of a huge group of guys. And I'll tell you this, too. None of the chicks are interested in us.
Oh, that's for sure.
You got some 22-year-old dude who's got his hand up your toaster. Believe me.
God.
He's got some ideas. Oh, how dare you? How dare all
of
you?
Did your wife into the spa lately?
My wife needs to go to the spa because she got too vigorous a rub down at the last spa she went to. Are you kidding me? Oh, and you got to tip them. They're only getting $120 for 50 minutes work. Well, how are they going to survive? Guy's got six months of correspondence college under his belt, and he's get paid like an attorney or a doctor? Love of Christ. All right, Drew, I'm sick. You all sicken me. Let's take a quick break. What did Travis win? He got herpes?
We'll talk to him.
After this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, it's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, yeah, Drew.
All right, let's have a little herpes talk here.
Yeah, herpes
so
talk.
Travis got herpes from someone at his place of employ. How did that happen exactly?
I have no idea.
How do you know it's herpes that you have?
He works at an adult bookstore, by the way.
Yeah. I just know. I've seen friends with herpes before. And
Where is your problem?
It's on my lips and some on my hands.
Both hands?
On my hands.
Both hands?
No, just my left hand.
On one finger?
No, it's like on between my thumb and my pointer finger.
In the sort of web area there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's blisters?
Little red blisters, yes. And they pus and they pop. And I know I didn't get it from my girlfriend. I don't cheat on her or sleep with anybody.
How long has it been there on your hand?
Huh?
How long has it been there?
It's been there for the past couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah, August is butt plug dealing days.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I saw the banner up front of the place.
What were we calling used butt plugs last night? We had a name for them.
I can't remember.
What was that?
I don't know, but you guys, hey, Travis, you guys.
And you'll be in booth number 6. All right.
No way.
No. Who's going into booth number 6, Travis?
Sorry about that.
All right. Two fellas going into one booth?
Oh, yeah, he paid me $10 and he's going to watch a movie in a booth.
With another guy?
Of course not. That's illegal.
Oh, okay.
How dare you? How dare you?
I offended Travis's delicate sensibilities.
Wow.
He would never mop up the semen of two men. Only one huge man.
What did we call the used butt plug last night?
It was a name. It sounded like something. Travis.
Yeah?
Do you guys sell vibrators?
We sell many vibrators.
You have to test them out before you hand them over, right?
Of course, because if it doesn't work, they can't bring it back.
There's no returns.
Of course not.
No.
How dare you?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, okay, if there's ever a place that you could get something.
I think this would be a good place.
This would be a good place.
Yeah, and it's pretty hard to get herpes on the hand, but it is when it occurs there, it's called herpetic whitlow. And it usually occurs around the nail beds, like around the nail. And it can be quite painful. Is it real painful down there on your hand?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's usually, though, not something that develops on more than one site. So to have it on the mouth and the hand is kind of unusual. Mm-hmm. But it ought to be looked at, Travis. The problem is if it goes away before a doctor has a chance to look at it, it's very difficult to diagnose.
Well, yeah, because I don't think I got it from any of the merchandise, but, you know, we do, like, rental returns and who knows.
Who knows? But it could be a lot of other. It could be an infection or something else. You're surmising this is what it is. And, yes, maybe.
All right, go to the doctor.
Yeah, let somebody look at it. Again, I cannot stress this enough, that when people call this program with skin problems, I can't tell what they're describing.
This sounds like herpes.
Suspicious, but it could be a lot of other things, too.
People still renting videos. Porn?
Is that what you do?
No.
What do you do? Well, you just buy it.
At least to own.
Oh, yeah.
It's different.
Do you have, like, a service that delivers regularly or something?
I'm in a Jack of the Month club. Yeah, each year, each month, they bring over 45 new releases.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I audition them.
Uh-huh.
Keep the ones I like, send back the ones I disapprove of, and then they bring me in. I only pay for the ones I keep.
Hmm.
It's like a book club.
Yeah, right.
You hear the wine of the month clubs?
Book of the month, wine of the month.
Same thing.
Jack of the month.
Same difference.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Same difference.
I understand, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Wouldn't be a bad idea, but no. Here's the thing: you can get a DVD porno
whack of the month.
You get a DVD porno at a car wash for like $4 now. You know,
they're car washes.
You go to the right ones. Yeah. The point is there's no reason to rent porno anymore
because it's so cheap.
It's just cheap and abundant. You just go get some DVDs.
Wow.
Get them. Go on the internet. Get them. You know. What if renting, handing it back and forth? What if you got one you fall in love with? Every once in a while, it's like, and then you fall in love with the porno, and it's like the scene at the train station where the girl's leaving. All right. I'll miss you, my darling.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Very sad. We have a relationship, Drew. It's a relationship. Yeah. Don't kid yourself.
You're committed.
We're going to take ourselves a little break, right, Chris? Okay. All right. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Hey, it's really heating up out there, Drew.
Outside?
Outside, yeah.
You know what, though? It in the evening, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's not that crazy heat that you can't get away from at any time during the day.
Yeah.
So that's nice, but it's been hot during the day. But I say to myself when I want to complain, it's just a few more weeks, and we had a nice July.
It might. Yeah. We had a good July, and it may push through, though.
You may have
September.
Yeah.
I don't know. We got punished in April inexplicably. End of March. Mm-hmm. 120 degrees out here. I like Death Valley. It's like I was reading in the papers 123 degrees today, and I thought, what kind of retard lives there?
Right.
And it's got the word death right in it. And then valley.
Both. Not good words.
Not called so Green far. Valley or Lush Valley. It's called Death Valley.
Yeah.
And by the way, who signed off on that? You know what I mean? How about we call it? Well, the guy who founded it was Bob Johnson. So we're thinking about calling Johnsonville. How about Death Valley? Okay, Stu. Yeah, that's good. That'll get tourism out. Death Valley. Yeah, there you go.
How about Arroyo Grande?
No. We'll call it Death Valley. How about Fekalburg? Ooh. Well, now we got a dilemma. Yeah, I still think death. You put the word death right in the name of your county? Something like a great idea. Like, I even put hanging or lynching or something. But
maybe they wanted to keep people out, and they didn't feel that the 120 degree heat would quite do the.
Yeah, and maybe
trick.
Death Valley's really called something else, and we just call it Death Valley.
Yeah, once you live there.
Did anyone officially name it Death Valley? Or if you open some map of Nevada or California, where is it in Nevada?
California.
It's in California. It's near Nevada. Must cross the border. No. Okay. If you open some map, don't you think it might just say, I don't know, have some sort of designation or something? I mean, do you think its official title
can we get on
is
the web?
Death Valley?
Should I do it?
Yeah, get on the web, Drew. You know how people get nicknames and they stick?
Yeah.
Then you find out the guy's real name?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, look into that. I just can't believe everyone signed off on Death Valley.
Yeah, it doesn't make that much sense. There's that whole Scotty's Place and all that. Have you heard about all stuff?
No, but I know the road to Zizix. Zizix. Bryce?
Yes.
By the way, who names a freeway off ramp like ZZZY? It's like a cartoon where someone's sleeping.
But if you want people to remember it,
I guess so. You know, kind of a hole. Think how stupid it is. Go ahead, Bryce.
Okay, about 3 weeks ago, I was with somebody, and about a week and a half later. She called me and she said she had symptoms of herpes and asked if I had it. And I do. I've had it for years. I think I've had it since I was a kid, and it was a herpes type 1.
Where are they?
I have a discoloration on my lip, and that's the only sign that I've ever had it. And when I, like maybe once every 2 years when I get really, really sick and my immune system is down, I'll have an outbreak, but that hasn't happened.
On your lip?
On my lip, yeah.
But not on your genitals?
No, I've never had it down there.
All right.
What's your question?
Well, so she's we're almost positive that I gave it to her. I got tested, and I've got the results back. She's just waiting to make sure she definitely has, like, herpes type 1. But
wait a minute. Well, this is
your girlfriend, or who is this?
No, this is somebody that I just
hooked up with.
We got together, and we live in two different places. So.
Oh, first of all, just because it was on your lips doesn't mean it was type 1. It can be 1 or 2 on your lips.
It can.
Yeah. So, whatever. How was she tested? What do you mean she was tested?
Well, she went to a clinician where she lived, and she should be getting the results back any day.
What? Of a culture?
Yeah, she got a culture because she had the outbreak. I got a blood test.
The blood tests are essentially worthless, but go ahead.
Where did she get her outbreak?
She got the outbreak down in, below her waist.
Okay. Sure.
And we did. I mean, we had unprotected oral sex. And,
all right. Well, now,
that's how you get it.
Well, you gave it to her.
Well, you see, I mean, I understand that. I've been with partners before, and I've never done anything on an outbreak, and this definitely was, there was no outbreak, but I...
Yeah.
You cannot predict when you're producing virus. It's very difficult to predict.
Only God knows when you're producing herpes virus.
Even he has trouble.
He can call it.
Well, what's happening is I feel completely responsible because... I feel responsible to pay for her medication and everything, all the costs because I did know I have it. I just didn't realize that.
Okay, all right, listen.
That's nice.
That's fine, so why don't you do that?
Okay, and also...
Does she have insurance?
I don't believe she does, no. She's in a different city, and she's getting herself set up over there. And,
all right, well, why don't you, pay for the medication for an allotted period of time and let her get set up, and then she's on her own.
Usually they only treat for the initial outbreak, and it's not that expensive, so.
All right, so there you go.
Can I ask one more question, please?
Hurry.
We talk, and she's very upset and understandably.
This is going bogus.
Yeah. And so, what's that?
Go ahead, keep going.
It's starting to get bogus now.
No, it's...
All right.
So, she's upset, and she's, like, because she's 22 years old, and she feels like who's going to want to be with me after, because I have, now she has a responsibility to tell everybody that she's with about this. And so, I don't know, I mean, that's true, and I don't know how to really calm her. I mean...
Well, all right. There's really... I don't know what you can say about this.
You can't take it away. It's uncomfortable and it's stigmatizing and it's miserable to have to deal with that. You don't know how your future partners are going to react to it. It's something she has to contend with now. I mean, she can be on antiviral medication chronically, and that will significantly decrease her risk of being able to transmit it to other people. Mm-hmm. She can require her future partners to fastidiously wear condoms, which is something she should be doing anyway. So there you go.
Yeah. All right. And now there's some evidence that these things burn themselves out eventually, and doesn't seem to be the life sentence that it was before.
Well, that's exactly the point. After 10 or 15 years, very often there's...
10 or 15?
Yeah, it's the warts that go away in 5 years oftentimes.
Ah.
The herpes can take longer.
So they didn't think the warts would go away at a certain point either.
Yeah, right.
And those burn themselves out.
Those do burn themselves out.
Herpes,
except for the
really,
ones that,
10 or 15?
To really be non-infectious. As time goes along, the frequency of the recurrences go down, but in terms of really being low risk for infection, it takes 10 or 15 years.
All right, what do you got with Death Valley?
I'm finding all kinds of things, but nothing about the name yet.
Where is it?
Borax mining.
California?
Scotty, a colorful personality whose tales and exploits helped to publicize the Valley.
Is it near the Nevada border? It's not that close, is it?
Borax works.
How That's got to suck. What do you do? I live in Death Valley. Uh-huh. What do you do? I mine borax. All right? What year is it? It's 1902. All right. You got air conditioning? No. Won't be invented for another 60 years. Smart. Sure you don't want to, work on a whaling ship or something good like that? Nope. True.
Yeah.
All right. Where is it? You find me a map.
Hold on. Let me get you the name first. I'm sorry. I found somebody who actually asked for the name.
All right.
And,
All right. I found a friend.
Here we go. The popular story is that one of the women in the 49ers group, people from the mining group.
Gold Rush.
Turned back as they were finally leaving and said, goodbye, Death Valley.
Right. So... the big gold rush hit in 49 in like Sutter's Mill or something.
Right.
Everyone went to San Francisco to get in on it. People were mining in Death Valley. Mm-hmm. And she said, kiss my ass.
Death Valley.
Death Valley. It was probably called something else then. And that's then the name stuck.
Exactly. Here's a definition. Let me see what kind of people are, I'm sure, very interested in this.
Yeah. Well, it's just the idea
it's
that...
It's in the Mojave Desert. It's all in California.
Place gets called Death Valley.
Oh, along the California-Nevada border, approximately 100 miles west of Las Vegas.
Ooh. So it runs along the border.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the border goes around Death Valley? I wouldn't want to include Death Valley in my state,
right,
by the way.
So they closed it out. I mean, Nevada has enough trouble, let's face it.
Does it just stop at the border, or does it spill into Nevada?
No, it's in California.
All right. It runs along the border. All right, let's talk to Kristen.
Yes?
Hey, baby doll, what's happening?
Nothing.
Thanks for calling tonight. All right, Drew, that's enough Death Valley trivia. Come over here.
Okay,
sit down.
I'm coming.
Go ahead, Kirsten.
How's that?
Well, my best friend, who's been my best friend ever since I was like 2,
mm-hmm.
She just came out of the closet and said she was a lesbian, and now I have to go to basketball camp with her in about a week, and I don't know how to act around her or anything, so like how do I act around her?
No differently than you ever
Well, except for
friend.
The part where you urinate into a fire extinguisher and spray her all day long.
That's what guys do.
Oh, that's what guys would do. Oh, chicks don't do that?
No.
Well, I'm stumped then. Hey, go ahead and treat her the same. Basketball camp?
Yeah.
Where are you going to basketball camp?
Hoop Mountain Basketball Camp.
Where? Where do you go? Who? Where?
Hoop Mountain.
Hoop Mountain.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to Dunk Valley.
Dunkville.
or Layupburg or any place like that. You're going up to Hoop Mountain, huh?
Yep.
All right. And how long do you stay for basketball camp?
It's 5 days altogether.
5 days. That's cool. Like a camp for everything now. Space camp. All sorts of sports camps.
Kids love this stuff, too.
In
my day, camp was sort of a punishment. Send you away to camp.
Hey, you went to camp like the Jews went to camp, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Work camps.
Yeah, the gulags, really. You go there. Yeah, they go there. Well, you sit under a tin roof making lanyards for 17 hours, and then if you're lucky, you can look at a picture of a canoe.
I remember lanyard and resins, like hardening. Like,
did you go to sleepover camp?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The YMCA thing.
I went to camp one time. And you're probably wondering, like,
oh my God, how'd that happen? Some of your friends dragged you along.
My dad's sofa capsized in a storm and actually knocked him off it.
And?
He hit his head on the coffee table.
Oh, and you got away.
He was a dad for about 10 minutes. He had amnesia. No, I'll tell you what happened.
I thought he was Marianne.
I'll tell you what happened. Here's what happened. Our neighbor, guy moved in, and he was a camp. He ran a camp. And I used to babysit.
Oh, that's a recipe for sexual abuse.
I used to babysit. No, he was a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I used to babysit the neighbor's kid.
Oh, that was the two boys, right?
No. That was Reevy and Ronnie.
Oh, yeah.
This was Adam.
This is Adam, whose Count Chocolate you would raid.
Well, whatever was in the refrigerator or in the pantry, I would raid. Yeah. I was like a crazed raccoon.
Yeah.
I would open up. I opened up a can of pie filling, dumped it into a bowl, and put baby marshmallows on it.
You know, and the Count Chocolate on top of that.
Whatever. You know what pie filling is? I mean, it's not pumpkin pulp.
No.
I'm talking about cherry pie filling.
Yeah.
Is it just syrup?
Yeah.
Just pure syrup, little bits of pure cherry.
Oh, you
in
thought
there.
You'd hit pay dirt, too.
I looked at it. I saw a picture of pie. I was like, holy Christ, what? What kind of confection is this?
Oh, my God.
There's a can.
And you figure they'd never miss it.
Got a picture of cherry pie on it.
Yeah.
They must have, like, been emptying the garbage. Like, who the hell ate a can of... What, the Mansons that crawl in here in the middle of the night? It's like a homeless guy would do.
Huh?
Yeah, I was so crazed because my mom was a health food nut. I went in there, opened up that can. But see, when you see the can and it has the picture of the pie on it, that's what gets you. I loved pie. Now, it was a little disappointing when I poured it out. It was like pie soup, you know?
Yeah, like you cared.
Still ate it. What are you going to do?
Add some cereal to it.
He ran a camp, but it was like somewhere like around Magic Mountain or Valencia or something, and it was just like a plot of dirt. And he must have said, you know, you should come out and come with me and do this. Went over there one time. And that was my camp experience. There wasn't nothing going on. Here's the thing. You go to camp, you got to have a lake. You go in the middle of the chaparral, just sit there and pull foxtails and burrs out of your socks. It's just all dried scrub and everything's brown. Just dirt everywhere. There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
You might have like a horse. I think maybe they had a pool or something. But you need a lake. You need a campfire. You need some trees. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where'd you go to camp?
Catalina.
No.
Oh. YMCA camp.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Shelly?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yep. Hey,
what happened? What's up?
This is Adam?
Yeah.
Adam, oh my gosh. I love you so much, man. I've
really?
Been listening to you since like I was 12.
Bitchin'.
Very moving.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on Kimmel tonight if you want to see me in
really?
Flesh.
Don't blow the cover. It'll ruin it. She has this great image of you and all.
You see me, I'm wearing a suit, baby.
Passionate man.
He's exquisitely passionate man.
Very much so. So what's going on? I heard you guys are talking about Death Valley.
Yeah. What do you know about Death Valley?
Well, I've actually been there. It's really cool.
Yeah, I've been there too. Who cares?
You know, it was a blip on your radar.
Yeah. Now, do you know anything about Death Valley?
Well, I've been there, and I know that it runs along the border of California and Nevada, but it does dip into Nevada.
Oh, it does go in?
Yeah.
No, not what they said on the web.
Oh, well, there's a lot of misconceptions about it. But
why do you know so much about Death Valley?
I've been there. My parents take me on big old long vacation trips and stuff. And
all right, you've been there, but I think I've been there. Why do you know so much?
Well,
so far, I haven't heard anything.
I'm a history buff, Adam. I love history, so.
All right.
Okay, so where'd the name come from?
The name actually came from the 49er Party. Like you said, she said goodbye Death Valley, but that's also because they lost some people in their party there because in the summertime, the temperature will reach up into the 125s.
Yeah, you gotta be. And by the way, chicks ain't wearing shorts and a halter top back then. They're looking like Little House on the Prairie dolls, you know?
Yeah.
125.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, do you just put down stakes there? Don't you keep moving? Hey, folks, we could be in Malibu in a few days. Let's keep on trucking.
They wanted the gold and the silver and stuff.
It's like 100. It's part of the Sahara Desert, so it's like really, really big.
All right, baby doll. So. I think Death Valley may be the hottest place on the planet. By the way,
it has the highest. That was on the web too.
It actually
134 degrees.
It also has the lowest point in the eastern hemisphere.
Thanks, baby doll. Well, Shelly's like a stoner atlas. Crazy wealth of knowledge from somebody who's having trouble stringing together a sentence.
Yeah.
But she knows her Death Valley trivia. Have you been out? I was going to Vegas for a bachelor party a year or so ago. And we got out of the bus somewhere around Death Valley, and it was probably 121, and it is a blast furnace.
No, I've been in Phoenix when it was 120, 118.
And what you do is you keep thinking you're standing next to something that's generating heat.
Yeah.
Like you're standing next to a bus or a car, so you think you must be by the exhaust or something.
Yeah.
So you move, and it follows you.
No, yeah. It is as uncomfortable as 50 below zero is on the cold end of the spectrum. It's as intolerable.
Without the option of putting a parka on.
Right. You can't escape
it. It's brutal. Yeah. I couldn't imagine. All right. Let's talk to Alex.
Hmm?
Alex?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Huh?
What's happening?
Oh, I have a friend. He's like really like big time drinking a lot and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to me every night like 2 o'clock in the morning. And he's like talking to me and stuff. He's like, I'm gonna be drinking, hopefully it'll put me to sleep. And so he tries to drink.
I think he's been drinking tonight.
Do we got phone screeners?
No, we can. No, how dare you?
What are we doing? Just randomly calling people across the United States?
Yeah, we disturbed Alex clearly.
All right, who is this guy?
He's a friend of my dad's, and we've been helping him out for like about 6 months, and he's...
What's your question?
My question is, like, what should I do to help him out?
With his alcoholism?
Yeah.
Take him to a program. Get him treated.
He doesn't want to, like...
Well, then start closing him out.
He can't hang out.
Yeah, no. you don't support his... If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Okay.
So just don't support it. Just keep confronting him about what he's doing, encourage him to get care, and that's all you can do.
And I was just wanting to ask about, well, I have bipolar, and like my doctor says that I'd have to depend more on my medicine, but I've like been trying to do other stuff so I didn't have to take my medicine so much, like being out in the sun or exercising or other stuff that would help the chemicals or so and whatnot.
That will help with the depressions. It doesn't do much with the mood stability. And if you truly have bipolar, you're going to have that the rest of your life, just the way you'd have diabetes, and it needs constant management.
And what can you do? Okay, so let's say you eat, you clean up your diet, and you stop drinking, and you start exercising. Is that going to help, just like it helps diabetes?
Absolutely. If you are bipolar and you're drinking, it's going to destabilize the bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And having structure in your life and feeling better about yourself and having less fluctuations in what you eat and how you eat, that'll all help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're looking at Chris.
I worry about the lad. I just like to see him, stop fluctuating.
Really?
I'm fluctuating?
Yeah.
From?
He thinks that means farting. I'm just screwing with him. No, you're fine, buddy.
I'll stop then.
Please. We'll take a quick break, Drew. Who are we going to talk to when we come back?
A great call.
A great one?
Yeah.
All right. After this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Who? Dr. Drew, everybody. All right, let's hop back to the phone, see if we can help the kiddies. What do you say now?
There we go.
Let's go. Let's break it down. Hey, let's go now. Let's get a hand in. What do you say, Chris? Let's go, buddy. Break it down now. Gentlemen, and I use that term loosely, grab a knee. And hey, can I tell you this, too? Helmet, not a chair. Take a knee. Take a knee.
Yeah, it's usually
not
more
a chair.
Take a knee than grab a knee.
Take a knee? No, we grab some knees.
Occasionally, but usually take a knee.
One knee. Two knees. You don't do two knees.
No.
Two knees when you're giving a guy a BJ in the park.
Did your,
one knee's what
when
a
you,
man
when you were
does.
Nine, is that what your coach said to you?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
He said, tying is like kissing your sister and taking two knees. It's like blowing a guy in the park.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Eric?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
You're 23.
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
Got a problem with my girlfriend. For some reason, we've been together like 6 years, and I've never done anything, to make her, not trust me or anything like that. But she's constantly paranoid, thinking that I'm cheating on her. She drives by my work. I work nights, and she drives by to make sure my car is here. Whenever I call her from any place, she's always calling back to, check up on me and see if I'm really calling from where I say I'm calling from.
How has your relationship been going?
I'm sorry?
How has your relationship been?
It's good. Other than that, it's frustrating to me because I got to live, day to day proving that I'm not,
You never have cheated on her?
Never. Okay. I've never done anything to make her not trust me in the slightest.
Is she doing any drugs, speed, pot?
No.
Because that'll make you pretty paranoid.
Yeah, so nothing changed, and all of a sudden she doesn't trust you.
It's not even all of a sudden. I mean, it's been fairly constant, but it seems like the more serious we get, the more she's thinking that...
All right,
her dad cheated on her mom.
Well, actually, her mom cheated on her dad.
Maybe worse.
She's used to chaos coming from relationships.
Yeah.
All right, so...
In fact, as you were describing this paranoia, I was thinking to myself, geez, the only people that get that paranoid about somebody cheating for no reason are people that have cheated themselves.
Mm-mm.
And I've thought of that, too. But the thing is, I'm so trusting of her, I don't want to do the same thing, which is, be checking up on her all the time thinking that she's cheating on me because I trust her more than that. Mm. But at the same time, I know how that works, that people, accuse other people of cheating because they're cheating themselves. They're so suspicious because they're doing that cheating themselves, but I don't know if I should...
Here's the deal here, young Luke. No, wait a minute. Who are we talking to? Oh, Eric. Yeah. I'm just going through my Bible. Eric.
Yes.
she has to stop this and control this, otherwise you're gone, daddy, gone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's gonna be gone, daddy, gone, because I am daddy.
Ugh. But there may be an unconscious desire to record.
She's going to have to grab a little therapy, because if her mom was cheating on her dad, she's her compass is spinning around a little bit.
How long ago was the child born?
Turned coming up on 3 years old.
And what are you doing? And why are you working in the middle of the night? What's going on?
I'm a night owl. I got a good job. I can't wake up early in the morning, so I get a night shift job.
All right.
It's better all around.
What do you do?
Therapy. Do you think this is a therapy that she should do on her own, or something we should do together?
I think you sound like you're pretty well put together.
Yeah,
it sounds like you came from.
You should see me, Adam. Come on.
It sounds like, oh, now I'm worried.
What the hell's that mean?
I have no idea. That's why he works at night. No one wants to work with him.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, Eric, it sounds like you come from a decent family. Yes?
Okay, yes.
Your parents treated you okay growing up?
Yeah, I mean, not half as bad as half your callers.
No, not nearly. You don't have a bunch of baggage. It doesn't sound like Eric is looking around a lot of baggage. Not a lot.
Not a lot. It's a little physical abuse.
Little physical abuse, maybe?
A belt here and there, nothing major.
There you go.
All right. Drew smelled that on him. All right, listen, no belts here or there for your kid.
Please. No, not at all. Zero.
Okay. Anyway, the point is she comes from a family that's got some chaos. She's got a little chaos going in her. She's trying to then...
create that in your family.
Thank you. And... for that reason, she needs a little therapy. Now, little couples never hurt, but she's really the party that needs a little therapy. And feel free to tell her to do that before she screws the kid up anymore, and she already has.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Luke?
Sure could feel that physical abuse in him, though.
Well, he got whacked around a little. Luke?
Hello?
26.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
What's happening?
Not a whole lot, you know. Mm-hmm. Just listening to a great show. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, so I'm calling because recently sort of out of a relationship but still sort of seeing each other about 2.5 years. And
hold on a second. You were in the relationship for 2.5 years, or you've been out and kind of seeing each other for 2.5 years?
No, we've been seeing each other for 2.5 years, just recently out.
Okay.
And just probably the last 3 or 4 months since we were living together, and now we're not. When we've been during sex, it's been a little bit painful for me in terms of an aerobic exercise. Mm-hmm. When I feel like I'm like trying really, really hard, not like when you're running and you feel it and it feels really good and everything. But right when I'm trying, feeling...
No,
like
this is sex. This ain't running.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good.
Yeah, that's not...
Well, when you
work,
feel like when you feel like you're really working, it feels good. But recently, it's been really, really painful in my chest, like my heart. Like, it feels like I need to say, whoa, I need to stop. Something doesn't feel right.
You're not doing any... You're not smoking cigarettes or...
No, I don't smoke.
No medications.
I'm not a drinker. No.
No medications.
The only thing I take is... I think, was it doxycycline?
Okay.
Or...
For acne?
Yeah. Okay. So,
Well, you need a cardiac evaluation, Luke. That sometimes there can be things you were born with that you're not aware of that can be of a significance. And if you're having chest pain,
I've been to a doctor. I was trying out for a meningitis vaccine study over in Oakland like a year and a half ago, and they found there's some weird stuff with my bilirubin count, so I couldn't participate. But
That's called Gilbert's disease. That's nothing.
Yeah, I have Gilbert's. That's exactly what
I got. That's nothing.
What's going on with the bilirubin?
Gilbert, his indirect bilirubin gets elevated when he stresses. When he gets stressed, his eyes get yellow.
What's a bilirubin?
Bilirubin is a breakdown product of cholesterol, basically. It's your bile. Yeah.
Sounds like a good sandwich.
Bilirubin.
What are you going to have? Are you going to have a slaw with that or fries?
On rye. Bilirubin.
Bilirubin. Give me a little dipping sauce, too. Look at that bile dipping sauce.
Yeah, so Gilbert's is a common thing. It's a normal variant, Luke.
But bilirubin and some truffle for dessert.
That has nothing to do with your cardiac status, and that needs to be available. You need a stress evaluation, an echocardiogram, and you may, God knows, need an angiogram. So,
all right. Well, get it checked out before you die on your girlfriend. It turns out one of those things where she can't get out from under you for 4 or 5 days until your body decomposes enough, loses enough, fluid weight where she can actually snap an arm off, and then use that to drag the phone closer to call 911.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Use it as a back scratcher. Carrie?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
I'm just calling. When I was 19, I called up your show and I asked if, even if I had mild depression, if I needed to go on antidepressants. And Dr. Drew told me yes. And I just wanted to tell you that I am on antidepressants now and my whole life has just turned around.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Carrie.
Yeah.
So thanks.
And you're living in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds
I was living in L.A. back then. That's probably part of the reason I was depressed.
Right. Sure, it's part of you've made some good choices since calling us.
Yeah. Sitting at those red arrows waiting to die. Yeah, that's depressing. Santa Cruz, Shangri-La.
So nice up there.
Oh, I'm telling you, if I was that Death Valley group, I would have just kept going.
Half Moon Bay.
Oh. I'm coming. I'm going up to Pebble Beach on Friday.
Nice.
Oh, sweet. All right, Carrie. Well, good.
Okay, thank you.
What are you doing over there in Santa Cruz?
I'm going to school, and I'm an office manager for a finance company.
And look at you. You're doing great.
Yeah, yeah.
We're very proud.
But we finally found the right one, so.
Good. I don't know what she said, but good. It sounded positive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That just says something about a child, but no.
Whatever. Yeah. She's doing good. I don't know what's going on tonight, but there's been an inordinate amount of compliments coming toward this show that
we
rarely
hear. Yeah, it's very suspicious.
Hear.
Very suspicious.
What's up?
I don't know.
Something going on?
Something's wrong.
Something's wrong. I mean, normally it's like, yeah, Dr. Chu, Alan, okay, Quay. And tonight it's like, hey, enjoy the show. I heard like 8 enjoy the shows tonight. Maybe it's because I usually talk so much we only take 2 calls.
Today we're taking some calls.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah,
I'm all talked out from doing Kimmel.
They're trying to reinforce your behavior.
That's it. Yeah. Hey, it's a good thing to take calls. See, people are friendly. Nikki.
Yes.
Uh-oh, Nikki's calling from Riverside.
What's up?
Oh, hello. I have a question. Okay, the other night, me and my boyfriend were trying to have sex, and I had started crying just out of nowhere.
And wait, and I'm trying to listen to what you're... Wait, hang on a second.
Okay.
You and your boyfriend were trying to have sex?
Well, yeah.
What does that mean?
That means we were really just like right there, but it didn't quite make it. Got a little,
why? Why?
She started crying.
I don't know. I just got all emotional and all sad and started trying to tell him to go away.
Yeah, that could be something. What do you think that is?
Well, was this your first time being sexual with him?
No, we had, but this is actually the second time this has happened. I just got curious because it happened the second time. It was one of the first time I started crying.
Yeah, so what do you think?
Nikki?
I don't know. We were just curious, and my boyfriend wanted Drew to shrink me, I guess.
I know. Well, look, here's the obvious stuff. First off, you're living in Riverside. I'm surprised.
That makes most people cry.
If I lived in Riverside, I would just be crying. I'd be like, how you doing?
But just think, if she got distracted and looked out the window while they were beginning to have sex.
Why are you crying, Adam? It's Tuesday. I live in Riverside. What happened? You watching something? No, I'm just watching. I'm just watching TiVo. I'll just be bawling. Just my trail of tears following me all over the place. Be like that Indian. All right, so...
Not all that bad.
No, I've labeled it as bad.
Okay.
It may not be Bakersfield bad, but it's still bad. And probably hotter in Bakersfield. Riverside.
It's a close second.
What's that?
Oh, I just said it was 105.
Hot. Beautiful. You know, people ought to go there to die. I realize that. Cats will go under the house.
Yeah, Riverside,
Indians
really.
Will go
that's
up the top of the
that's
mountain.
Where Death Valley should have been reserved.
Yeah. Come for the heat, stay for the death. I'd go there to die. Seems a shame to screw up a nice place like Santa Cruz by dying in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Wouldn't mind. A little, plenty of open ground to bury stuff. Hey, Nikki?
Yes.
Were you ever molested?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's your problem.
Like, it never, like, I had been with other people and... No. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Nikki, what happens when you've been abused is that you tend to kind of, people have a tendency to split into two senses of themselves, a good and a bad sense, and you start to feel sort of dirty and bad, and anything really sexual feels sort of like you don't want to show that to somebody you really truly feel intimate with.
Drew split into boring and boring.
Boring and more boring.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Nikki, the thing is that when you actually do develop strong feelings for somebody and then try to be sexual, those two things don't go easily together for you. They make you feel somehow bad and negative, and you can't show your sexual self to somebody you really care about. It's time for treatment when you get
to that. Who did the molestation?
I'd like to keep that up.
All right. Well, going with family members. I'm smelling brother.
Yeah, you got to get treatment.
Oh, you got to get treatment. That's all right. You didn't do anything wrong, but you're 18. You got molested, and you got to take care of it.
I'm smelling grandfather.
I smell grandpa. Yeah. Smell old grandpa. Smell that bad sweater. All right, Nikki. Or otherwise, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, you're going to cheat. That part of yourself that you feel is bad, in order to experience it, you have to be with bad people.
Yeah.
And you're going to cheat with bad people or be in a relationship with bad people. It's not a good thing.
Yeah. Look, if you are molested, you need therapy. No ifs, ands, or buts, yes? All right. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Yo, Loveline. That's right. I'm Adam. That's my partner, Dr. Drew, my part. You know what I mean? You ready to rock, buddy?
Yeah.
Let's rock it.
Let's go.
Hey, who's in tomorrow night, Drew?
Puddle O' Mud.
That's right, they are. It's been a while. I always get them in jars of clay confused. I thought they should tour together. Puddle of Mud opening for Jars of Clay. Yeah? All right.
There you go.
Here we go now. Megan?
Yep.
You're 22.
Yeah.
What's happening?
My boyfriend, who I've been seeing for about 2 years now, he's not really interested in having sex.
How long has that been going on for?
Since I'm pretty much his entire life, apparently. He's 34 years old, and I was the first person he ever had sex with.
Ooh.
But he's still not, like, really...
Well, wait a second. How old?
32.
It was 2 years?
Yeah.
He was 32 with first sexual encounter?
Yes.
True.
He dated
How
someone...
much of your passion had you released by 32?
Metric ton, volume.
How much acreage is it covered? I know we can't go by weight. How much water would it have displaced? More or less than an aircraft carrier?
Oh, more. Are you high?
California class aircraft carrier. Those things are about 800-900 feet long.
Yeah, okay. Just about there.
Okay.
Yeah, about
All
that.
Right. Yeah, so that's a weird one. Losing virginity at 32.
Yeah. I didn't know when I started dating him. He's apparently dated someone for about 10 years who was really big on no sex before marriage. And he was actually faithful to her and finally gave up the ghost after about 10 years.
That still put him in at 22.
Why don't you get married, by the way, after being with someone for 10 years who doesn't want sex until marriage?
I don't know.
Well, there's
something's up.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple possibilities here. A, he's got some sort of medical problem that needs addressing.
Mm-hmm.
Two, some sort of developmental problem, pituitary tumor, prolactin secreting tumor, that turning. Does he have normal secondary sexual characteristics, normal hair distribution? Okay.
That's, all right. What's he do? Work with computers?
Huh?
Does he work with computers?
No, he's actually kind of more of an art type.
All art right. type.
And three, there may be something very, very wrong here that we need to know about. And number four, there is that guy, though, Adam. There is that guy, the low sex drive guy.
Yeah. Does he masturbate?
I don't know. I've asked. He says no, but most guys lie.
We ever find any pornography around the house? Anything
Hang on
the computer?
Let's test out that lying question, that lying sort of issue. Adam, do you masturbate?
Yes.
Okay. Lying.
I mean now?
No, right the second, but is that something you might be...
Well, I am going now.
Yeah, I know. I'd ask you to not. Come on.
It's a coincidence.
I know.
All right, Megan, I'm wondering why you're hanging out with this guy. You're 22.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And you can say he's an artsy type. What's he do?
He actually works as an engineer.
Okay.
He just got out of college, and we met while he was in college.
All right.
Why was he in college so late?
He didn't start till later.
Hang on a second. Hold on a second, Megan. The reason he didn't get out of... He got out of college so late is he didn't start till later.
Well, that's an answer. He didn't start till he was, 27.
Why didn't he start?
Whatever. So why didn't... How old's Chris?
He's in college.
Listen, Chris is going to transfer to a four-year university in 12 years, and people are going to know, why'd you start so late? And it's like, well, that's my pace.
It took my time.
Mom's time, took everyone's time.
Megan, why
took
so
my
late?
My tax money.
What was he doing for the 10 years he should have been going to college?
He spent, two or three years out working, and then he went to community college for a while. He had to put himself through college. And so it was never taking very many units, and he switched four times.
Sure, I don't know. Why do you find that so suspicious? He got his degree. Look, here's the thing.
The reason I find suspicious is he's in his mid-30s, and he's still going to school. Who's supporting him?
No, he's no longer going to school. He was working.
He's done now. Listen, Megan, don't listen to Drew. Okay. Here's the thing. You tell him that he needs an evaluation and or workup. And if there's nothing wrong with that, then you got the possibly gay, got some kind of weird mommy relationship with you,
some sort of
deep psychological things, some trauma history, or he's just one of those guys whose metronome barely moves. Either way, this could be, feel free for this to be a deal breaker for you guys.
If she wants, if it works for her, but it sounds like it's not working. She wants to know why or how to make him more interested in that kind of stuff.
Go ahead and have him evaluate it. Tell him he's got to step up to the plate if and he wants to spend more time with you.
Couldn't hang with that guy.
Oh, Drew couldn't. But, we can hang, and I have almost no passion.
Hey, because your passion is all over the hamper.
Right.
Well, at least I know you. If you gave your passion 5 minutes to accumulate, there'd be passion.
Oh.
See?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Amanda?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
I've been doing meth for, 10 months now, and it hasn't been every day. It's been, sporadically, whenever I can get my hands on it. And I just basically want to know, how do you know if you're addicted to it?
Addiction is really the ongoing use in the face of adverse consequence. Very simple.
Yeah.
And if you're having things happening to you that are not so cool as a result of the relationship with that drug, that's addiction. Now, the other piece of evidence would be a family history of alcoholism. So that tends to be the evidence for the genetic heritage. And if you got the gene, you got the behavior, that's the disease.
I powdered it down because I said too much noise going on in the background. But meth is insidious.
Yeah. You don't have to use meth every day to be addicted. So many of my amphetamine addicts are only using 3 or 4 times a week, but they just can't stop. They can't string together any sober time.
All right, stop with the meth. That's just a bad one. It can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere but down with that drug.
Yeah.
It is a horrible drug. All right, let's speak to Josh. He's 23. Josh?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, buddy. Sorry you were on hold for so long. Drew didn't want to talk to you.
I just wanted to drop saying how much I do enjoy you guys. It's nice, being entertained after a day of work. So I want
thanks,
to
thank buddy. You for that. Thank you. It says here, 23, says see snakes and bugs when you're about to go to bed.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. I've had this for a couple years. It's like I'll wake up. I'll still be visualizing something as though it's in a dream, but I'll be totally coherent like I am awake.
What about that snake and bug thing? I get a fair amount of that stuff, too.
In dreams?
I have that hypervigilance thing. So if I see a spider or something, it's got to be dealt with. There's no way. I couldn't go to bed with a bug in the room.
Right.
And I do have a minor preoccupation with that. Oftentimes have dreams where I'm bitten by a snake or a bug or something. Used to have the jaws locking on me, but that's back when I owed the IRS money. Remember that dream?
Yes, yeah, so we were felt depressed with IRS.
Wouldn't let go. If you tore your hand out, it'd do worse. But if you stayed there, you're going to die.
Yeesh.
Yeah. I used to have constant dreams of things locking onto me. Pit bulls, sharks, alligators. And then I couldn't. The trauma was the thing was locked on, and if as long as you just stayed, if you started to wrestle, and it would just tear. It's weird. So you just sort of sit there with this thing that was locked on to you.
So you're saying you get sort of night terrors where you wake up, but you stay in a semi-dream state?
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I'll tell you this one that, I mean, it scared my wife half to death, and I must have been watching something before I went to bed, but I woke up, and I look over at her, and it looked like there was a bomb strapped to the wall. So I wake her up, I take her out of the room, and I'm sitting there trying to explain myself in the living room, and she's like, no, just come back to bed, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what's wrong with me.
All right, this is sleep disorder at this point.
Yeah, or drugs and alcohol.
Well, he's not doing drugs. He's calling from Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Do you do drugs and alcohol, Josh?
Not at all.
Okay. All right, I know.
So it's sleep a sleep disorder. Disturbance. Yeah, sleep terror, basically, is what that is.
Well, what do?
You get that evaluated, sleep disturbance. There are treatments.
Well, we got to take a break, but let me just say this. All the imagery that's flowing in through ISDN lines and high-speed internet and cable with 1,000 channels, don't we got too much up in the ViewMaster before we go to bed now? You know what I mean? Before, just be a picture of what do you got in your head? Well, you got your imagination of a book you're reading and a candle flickering.
Yeah. Or maybe you got an Indian in a test pattern.
Yeah, now you got a zillion. I got everyone in the Hilton family flying through this. All Donald Trump, everything, Al Qaeda. It's all blowing through there.
Interesting.
Take a break. We'll be back. Well, that's the show, everyone. Puddle of Mud in here tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.